I've never been about the money. It will never drive me. If it does, you can come kick me straight in the crotch. You know, that'll never be me.
In this week's Know Them From Adam podcast, we are going to speak to the now highest paid player in football, the Oakland Las Vegas Raiders starting quarterback, Derek Carr, whose story goes much deeper than the surface. Obviously, he suffered the broken ankle on Christmas Eve last year, missed the Raiders playoff loss to the Texans, but he is healthy and he is ready for training camp. And Raiders veterans report on Friday. Carr is going to speak to us about his health status, about the arrival of Marshawn Lynch and what he has seen from Lynch during the Raiders OTAs, and some future ideas that will surprise you about what he might have planned for his own personal future. Without further ado, the Raiders quarterback, Derek Carr. So you're going to camp on Friday, basically. How does it feel with former Raider veterans like Tim Brown and Marcus Allen going out of their way to say that they believe that there's a realistic shot that the Raiders can make the Super Bowl this year? How do you feel about that?
Yeah, you know, it's obviously it's an exciting time, and we've come a long way. You know, I'll say that. You know, 4 years ago when I first got in and took this job, that wasn't the case. You know, the greats weren't saying those things. We were still hoping for a rebuild, and so we're blessed and we're honored to be in the position that we're in. But at the same time, it means nothing unless we go out and put the work in. So we keep everything in perspective. We know that we have a good group of guys. We know that we have a lot of talent. But like Coach Del Rio says, everybody has talent. You know, we have to go work hard. We have to execute and do the right things and, let those kind of things be the reason that we make it.
Derek, you say good group of guys have talent. Is it fair to say that this is the most talented Raiders team that you have played on so far?
Oh, definitely. It has to be. I don't think there's any doubt about that. You know, I played on really talented teams. Obviously, we had, guys like Justin Tuck and Antonio Smith, Charles Woodson, who I think counts for about four guys. we've had some talent, but I think from top to bottom, all around, depth-wise, looking down into the undrafted guys that we've signed, it's ridiculous. The kind of guys that we can put out there on the field and put on film. So, I think this is the most talented. But again, all that means nothing if we don't go work hard for it.
Now, one of those new guys is Marshawn Lynch. And there's been an awful lot of discussion and anticipation about what he'll bring to your team. What have you seen from him during OTAs before we go to training camp here?
Well, he definitely looks like himself. I think we can put that one to bed. He's definitely beast mode. He's definitely Marshawn, who we all love. We all love watching him play. I don't think there's a person out there that doesn't. Maybe defense is getting ready for him. Maybe they don't like it. But, we all enjoy watching him play, and we all enjoy watching him run. And I haven't seen a loss of a step.
You haven't. And I was going to say, what makes you think you haven't seen anything that's different in him? What is that? Like, take us behind the scenes during OTAs to give us a firsthand look.
We all know he runs physical. We all know he's going to put his, face through your mouth and over again. We all know he's going to do that. But what surprised us is his agility, his quickness, his ability to bounce from one hole to the next suddenly. I think that's something that just shocked us all, and not saying that we didn't know that he could, think that he could do it. We just didn't know. And, even his hands, his hands are amazing. He can whip the ball back almost as good as I can, when we play catch. And, I'll be like, dude, where did this come from? He just tells me he's an athlete, so I just have to get used to it. But, I think, honestly, with his style of play, I think a year off was the best thing for him.
Because, really?
I think with the way that he runs the ball, and you give him a year off to get his mind right again and to get his body right again, now he's healthy. Now he's, completely ready to just put his face through people. I think that was the best thing that could have happened to him.
Put his face through people. I like that description, Derek.
Me too. Me too, since he's on our team.
That's what he does do. I saw one highlight of him during OTAs, and I know people said, it's 7-on-7, no pads, no tackling. I got it. But the quickness and foot speed and agility that he demonstrated on the one replay that I think Jack Del Rio put out there told you an awful lot about where that guy is at this point in his career heading into this season.
Exactly. And, yeah, you hit it on the head. I don't even need to say anything more than that. You know, the foot speed and the quickness that he displayed right there. You know, if we put pads on, we know what he's going to do. But for him to show that speed was just another, you know, piece for us to see, like, wow, man, this guy's a really good football player.
And you know what's funny about that? I know people were saying, oh, don't overreact to that. But, again, your head coach posted that footage on Twitter. And I could just see, knowing how this works, where a head coach is watching this and he's just laughing, saying, look at this. This is ridiculous. I'm going to share this with the world. He doesn't share that if he doesn't feel that your team isn't on to something. And that's what I think some people missed out on.
Yeah, exactly. Trust me, we us football players, we all know there's no pads on. You know, we know that it's not real, and we're, you know, most of the time grateful for that when we're out there during the off season. So we understand, but at the same time, you have to go out there and perform and execute, and you know, put on display every single day what you can do to help this team. And on that play, Marshawn just showed that you know, I'm not just about running people over; I want to run away from them too.
Now, you talked about the 4 years that have come and gone since you were drafted, the 36th pick in the 2014 NFL Draft. There were three other quarterbacks picked ahead of you, Blake Bortles and Johnny Manziel and Teddy Bridgewater. But I'm curious to know, Derek, what it was like to be the 36th player picked, the fourth quarterback picked, to come into a league and start out 0-10. And did you think that you would get to this point now where you're the NFL's highest paid player by average annual value on his contract?
You know, I will say this. I never thought about the money-wise, like, oh, I'm going to be the highest paid player or something like that. You know, I knew that if I performed a certain way that in this business, things like that just happen. And I've never been about the money. It will never drive me. If it does, you can come kick me straight in the crotch. You know, that'll never be me. You know, I'm here to win football games and love on my teammates and just enjoy life with them as we do it. But taking me back to 0-10, and I sat there and I'm just staring, you know, at my locker, like, what else do I need to do? You know, winning in this league is so hard, and it was a cool little deal. Me and Khalil, we've been, you know, pretty much like best friends, man, since we came into the league. You know, we just kind of, you know, just said, man, we're going to take this thing and we're going to show people how to work. We're going to show them, doesn't matter our age, we're just going to do it our way because we're the ones that are going to be around for a while. You know, we're the rookies, you know. And so we just took that upon ourselves. And after every loss, I kid you not, I would go to him at his locker and I said, look, bro, it's not always going to be like this. And we were actually, he was at the house yesterday. We were laughing about it. I said, by week 8, week 9, week 10, I was like, I just come over like, man, it's not always going to be like this. I promise. You know? And sure enough, it hasn't always been like that. But again, we've left every season with a sour taste in our mouth. We haven't fulfilled what we think that we're capable of. And that's what's going to continue to drive us, is that we know there's more out there for us. So that's why we continue to work and try and get better.
Had you not suffered the injury you did last season, fracturing your right fibula on Christmas Eve, missing the playoff loss to the Texans, what do you think, how far you think this team might have gone? I know it's a hypothetical, Derek, but you guys were playing so well. How far could you have gone?
Yeah, you know, it's hard to say because I don't want to take anything away from those, you know, veteran teams and things that, you know, did their thing and they continued on. You know, it would have been a good game against Houston. We had played them before, you know, Mexico City, and it came down to the fourth quarter, you know, to beat them. So that would have been hard. Mm-hmm. You know, moving on, you know, probably would have played, you know, who I don't even know how it went now. I tried to block it out, KC or Pittsburgh, right, or, you know, New England, whoever we would have played. And, you know, that would have been a rough, you know, rough game too, because we like to play physical and we know that all those teams do as well. So I'll never say that, man, woulda, coulda, shoulda. I broke my ankle. We didn't get to play anymore after the Texan game, and that's it. And all that, all the wins and all those things that we did were great, and you know, it was fun, and you know, we turned the culture of an entire franchise and fan base around. But you know, we didn't win the Super Bowl. You know, we didn't win the AFC West. Kansas City beat us twice. We had some of our worst games against them. And so that is the thing that is on my mind that fuels me, is it's not what could have been. It's, hey, now we have another opportunity to go out and do it.
Two losses to the Chiefs. So I take it the Chiefs might be circled on the calendar for this year. Is that accurate to say?
Yeah, they've had our number for a little bit. And I don't know what it is, man. We have not played our best football against them. But I can assure you, we've been watching a lot of film. We've been studying a lot, and getting our mind right, because I just can't wait to get back out there and play against all our division opponents, especially those guys, since they beat us twice.
Are there any limitations on you going into camp with your ankle injury at all? Do you feel 100%? Are you going to be limited in any way, or is it all systems go?
No, coaches told me, like, if I had shown that I was a little tight or a little stiff or sore during OTAs and phase two and mini camp and all that, then they probably would have, when camp hit, probably would have had me limited in those things. But thank God, when we hit day one of the off-season program, I was sprinting, jumping, running, doing everything my teammates were doing. And that is a blessing, man, because it could have been so much worse. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that it wasn't as bad as it could have been. But no, when I hit camp, I'm full go until my coaches tell me, hey, you got, this one off, or hey, you're done for this preseason game. I'm going to be out there full tilt playing the way that I usually do.
How bad could it have been? You say that as if there might have been something more when you went down, that you were concerned that it could have been worse.
Yeah, there could have been, like ligament damage. There could have been, the high ankle sprain, that whole thing. And without getting to the,
right,
doctor's notes of it, it could have been so much worse, but it was just a bone, that is probably one of the biggest blessings I've ever had, is that I only broke my ankle. Because as we looked in there and looked at the way it broke and, what ligaments and what things attach, where and what could have torn and all those things, and nothing did,
Wow.
It was just a bone, very blessed to have that. One of the biggest blessings of my life is, I tell people, is that I only broke my ankle, and it wasn't anything more than that.
We'll be back with more of our conversation with Raiders quarterback Derek Carr. You bring up blessings. What role does faith play in your life and your career?
Oh, man, I appreciate you asking that, because it's the most important thing to me. I've lived both ways, and a lot of people don't know that. Some of my teammates don't even know that. They hear me, preach or something, here in California, all over the state, and they're like, man, you used to do that?
What? And, what? Used to do what? Used to do what?
Oh, man, I was out there just being a silly college kid, to say it that way. And, and they look at me now, they're like, no way. And I just tell them, man, I used to live one way, but I'd never change now. But, I've seen what it can do for my life and for my family. So, yeah, man, this is the most important thing to me.
What does being a silly college kid entail? Derek, we've all done that. I could give you my own silly college kid stories, too.
No doubt. No, I was out there partying, doing all the wrong things, thinking I was actually somebody, when actually I was just some, snotty nose, freshman, sophomore, backup, quarterback at Western Athletic Conference school,
Yep.
So, it's funny when I look back, because I tell people all the time, I was like, man, I would go back and beat that kid up,
Wow.
to get his mind right. But, it's just, man, I was an idiot. But thank God, man, that he could grab my attention a little bit.
What changed that? How did that change?
To be honest, it was my wife. At the time, we were just friends, and we would go to church together. We'd hang out and things like that. But then I'd still be out doing whatever. And she told me one day, she said, you're not the person I thought you were. And that was the moment right there that grabbed my heart, man. And I'll never forget that. And I'm always going to be thankful for her in my life. She's probably the biggest blessing that I've ever received, really. She helped change my life, and I thank her for it a lot.
So if she hadn't come along and said what she did to you, you could be like anyone else who sometimes maybe just flames out and doesn't make it in the league.
There's no doubt. There's a 100% no doubt, because I remember sitting there, and I remember realizing that, God had so much more planned for me, and I was screwing it up, I would always work hard at the facility. I would always give everything I had, and there was no doubt that I was going to outwork everybody, but I was burning the candle at both ends. And it was only a matter of time before it ran out. I'm only human. We're all only human. Khalil Mack may be a little bit of alien, but for the most part, he's human too. It was just one of those things that, hey, if I really want to be great at this thing, I really need to give it everything I got. That way I can get to a certain level. That way people will want to hear what I have to say, and I can just help kids and help adults all throughout the world.
And what do you have to say now that you are in that position? What do you say to all these people out there?
Oh, man, God is good. he's faithful, man. You know, I could tell you some crazy stories of some things that he's done in my life that still leave people. You know, I don't know if I've ever lied. Maybe I did when I was eight, when I sold my mom's DVD for a video game. But I tell people stories all the time. They're like, "There's no way that happened." And I just tell them, man, you know, I didn't think that it could happen either. But these things are really happening, and that's why I live the way that I do. To be honest.
Give me one of those stories. One of those stories that would be hard to believe.
You know, I'll give you a perfect example. My surgeon. Now, this is not the most recent. I've had hundreds of them, but my surgeon, when I broke my ankle, he lays me on the table. My foot sticking out to the side, you know, and he says, "I'm gonna put you under. I'm gonna do an X-ray, so I have a new one right in front of me, and then I'm gonna cut you open. I'm gonna fix it." I said, "Awesome, man. Appreciate you. Thank you. You know." And he said, after I woke up, my wife is sitting there crying. I was like, "Oh no, what did they do?" I said, "Oh no." I said, "Did they screw something up?" She said, No, nothing's wrong." She said, "When the surgeon walked out, he looked at us and he said, I put your husband under, and I took the X-ray and I could see the break. I could see it was snapped and it wasn't connected. Yeah. His foot was sticking out. And then when I went to cut his foot open, literally minutes later, his foot had reattached itself and was already healing." And those are the exact words that the surgeon used. and there's nothing that can explain that. I didn't make that up. He obviously didn't make it up. He's one of the best ankle surgeons in the world. And he said, "I've never seen this before." So that is only one instance of something happening. I mean, I could go on and on all day.
So what do you attribute that to?
That's my faith. That's God all the way. I've seen it. I've seen it in other people. I have emails from other people sending me things that, I just randomly, God will put someone on my heart, and I just go and just love on them, just ask them if there's anything I can pray for them about. And I've had people email me stories of them going to the doctor and then saying, "Hey, man, the cancer's gone." and the doctor can't explain it. "Hey, man, this is what's going on." And I'm good with sounding weird, because the tears that I see on those people's face of joy is way cooler than anything any critic could ever say to me about any of that.
Is this something that you can do post-football, Derek? Somehow spread a message, share your faith, convert people like that? Or is that something that you think is separate from whatever it is that you'll go into?
No, it's definitely what I do, you know. And now I don't know what I'm going to do when I'm done. You know, I go around and I'm asked to preach all over the place now. And I'll go and do that. So I don't know if I'm going to continue to do that just as by itself, or, you know, if I'm going to coach. You know, I always joke around that someday maybe I want to coach at Fresno State. Mm-hmm. I think that'd be awesome, but who knows, man. I told somebody tweeted me that I had two votes for president. And so I said, maybe I'll run for president. We'll see. Some Raider fan. They voted for me twice, I guess. But, you know, we'll see. You know, I'm going to keep all my options open.
Wait, so I want to be very clear about this. You are not ruling out a run for the president of the United States.
I'll let you break this first. I am not ruling this out.
Do politics have any interest to you?
You know, I enjoy it. But I think the thing that I enjoy the most is not the politics. It's really making a difference and helping people. You know, it's really who I am. It's not a front for me. You know, all the stories I could tell you and all the things about my faith and all that, I just do it to show people love. That's it. You know, I just want people to feel loved. I know there's a lot of people out there that don't. So I think that if I did run someday, which is funny to say, but if I did, I just want to help people, man. And the way that you could do that, what better seat to do that from, you know, from being the president.
Is the Valley Children's Healthcare Hospital, is that an example of you trying to help people? Because I know that you have made donations there, breaking ground on a $30 million specialty care center to benefit the hospital. You've contributed to that. Is that an example of that?
Absolutely. You know, that is just one way that we can just help families, because my wife and I, we were our son was a patient at Valley Children's. You know, he had three surgeries. We had doctors tell us he might not make it. So we know that struggle. We know that pain. And so anytime we can just show up and put a smile on the kid's face, or show up and put a smile on the parent's face, you know, I know how hard it is just being a parent, but, you know, in a situation like that, anything we can do. And we've told them, whatever you want, you just ask us, we're there. You know, whatever you need, you ask us, we'll be there. Don't even, there's no, we're not keeping any records. We're not keeping, you know, how many times this or that. Just ask us, we're there, because it's just one thing my wife and I can do to help put a smile and love on people.
And Derek, for those who don't know Dallas, your son was born with heart complications. And I'm curious to know if you could just give everyone an update on how Dallas is doing today.
Yeah, no, he's doing great. And, you know, he has a sweet scar on his stomach that we tell him is a shark bite. And if you ask him, he'll tell you, you should see what my dad did to the shark now.
That's awesome.
And, yeah, he loves it. So everyone, all the family, they're like, yeah, show us your shark bite. And he'll lift his shirt up no matter where he's at. And it's awesome. But, you know, he's doing great, man. He's playing sports. He's running around playing soccer, playing basketball. He just told me the other day, he's like, I want to be a Raider like you someday. I'm like, well, son, I don't mind if you play basketball, or, you know, I don't mind if you play soccer or baseball, you know, I don't want to see you get hit like that. But, you know, yeah, he's doing great.
So are you open to him playing football or not playing football?
Oh yeah, they can do whatever they want. My kids, they don't have to do anything. I'm never going to force them into anything. You know, they can be doctors, they can be, you know, whatever. You know, it doesn't matter to me. They can teach. I think that is one of the most important jobs in the world. They can do whatever they want, but whatever they do, they're going to work their tail off and push the heck out of them, because nothing is given to you in this world, and you shouldn't expect it. You shouldn't expect that you deserve anything either. So they're going to work their tail off. So that's really all I care about, is that when I look at them, whatever they do, they just work their tail off.
And I have to ask you before I let you go, I know you said you're going to let me break the news that one day you're going to run for president of the United States. But you did not let me break the news about your contract, though I tried desperately to do that at the very end. And I have to tell you, just so you know, it's a very funny story. I was walking off a golf course, a driving range. I had just gotten these new clubs, and someone called and said, hey, that Derek Carr deal is done. And I said, it's done? They said, it's done. So I called a couple of people, and they said, well, it's not really done, but it's going to get done. And so I tweeted out, they're finalizing the deal. And then I was taking my dog, who actually lost her vision this year. I could have used your help there, Derek. We were talking about faith and miracles. Yeah, she had glaucoma in her left eye, and at that point she lost her vision in her right eye after undergoing surgery. And I was at the vet with her to try to save the vision. And I see your tweet, which was to the effect, nothing done yet. When it is, we'll let you know. And I said, I never respond to anything like that, but I just felt – in that particular instance, and I hope you didn't take any offense to that, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to have some fun with this. So I tweeted back, no, it's not done yet, but it's going to get done. Congratulations in advance. Sure enough, the next day, the deal got done that morning.
Well, I'll say this. From now on, anything you need, man, I'll just tell you, and I'll let you get. You got it. I got your back, bro.
I'm breaking that story when you run for president. That's mine. I'm calling dibs on that right now, Derek.
You got that one. Okay. No problem. So whenever that day comes, you got it.
I'll leave the Khalil Mack blockbuster contract to you. I'll leave any sort of injury updates to you. That's all yours. But we got an arrangement on the president story here.
Yeah, that's all yours. So you heard it here first. You got it.
Hey, Derek, I was told I can only keep it 20 minutes today. I've gone over that, so I appreciate you allowing me that extra time. I really did enjoy talking to you, and I appreciate the message that you're spreading, and continue to spread that message and continue to do the work that you have.
Oh, thank you, Adam. Hey, I appreciate you, man. You have a good one.
Thanks so much, Derek. Good looking camp this summer.
Thank you.
All right, we've said before that we'd love to hear your comments, ways that we could improve this podcast, and guests that we could invite on future podcasts that you would like to hear. And some people have been kind enough to send in some comments, so we're going to read some to you right now. From the Boston Gecko, Boston G-E-K-K-O, he wrote, checked out Adam's podcast for some fantasy scoop and got much more. Interview with Philip Rivers was fantastic. Sign me up. Well, thank you. I did like Philip Rivers. I thought he was as engaging and as passionate as any guest that we've had so far, and I appreciate you listening to that one. And Boston Gecko, I see that you mentioned Fantasy Scoop. Funny you should say that. In mid-August, we're going to have on Matthew Berry and Field Yates together, the three of us, and we are going to break down the entire upcoming fantasy season, and it should be a very interesting podcast, so please stay tuned. Mid-August, Matthew Berry, Field Yates, Fantasy Scoop should be a great little session, hopefully. All right, from Tripops, he writes, love the podcast. I've
Lately tried a few of the interviews I didn't think I cared about, but found them engaging and entertaining. Shefty has asked us for suggestions for those to have as guests. Here are a few. Daniel Snyder. I don't think I've ever heard him interviewed. John Madden. What's he up to? Al Michaels. His decades of experience and insight would be fascinating. Well, listen, love to get all three of those guests. We'll put them down for the future. I know I've actually asked about Daniel Snyder, and the Redskins PR man Tony Wiley has said maybe we can make that happen. I'll see. We'll see. Would be fantastic if it actually did. John Madden and Al Michaels, I actually had the great fortune of working with both of those men as their sideline reporter when Andrea Kramer was in Olympics. We did a couple of games together. I got to go on the Madden Cruiser. Know both those guys, both those men. They are legends, broadcasting legends, and would be honored and thrilled if they would be guests. I will reach out. We will put them on the list, and those are excellent suggestions from Tripops. And we got this letter from MeowMix69. Adam gets good guests, but his interviews aren't that interesting. The interviews often devolve into mundane topics and not in the way where it offers interesting insights. I think Adam could benefit from a bit more preparation to the player's background. Well, listen, we do a lot of preparation. We delve into their backgrounds. I'm sorry that you feel that way. I disagree, but I understand your comment. I appreciate you sending along the comment. We're going to continue to try to do better in the future and continue to try to make everybody happy. So those are some comments for this week. We love getting them. Please send in your reviews to iTunes. Send us your comments. Send us your suggestions for guests. We want to do anything we can to make the listener happy and to make this a great podcast experience.